Welcome to Band of Brothers Radio, your internet outpost, supplying refuge, hope, and biblical counsel for men in the midst of daily battles, and where no man is left behind.
Jesus died for our sins. His blood was away these stains. He died to give you freedom. So why do you still wear those chains, 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 chains?
This is Band of Brothers Radio.
Good day and welcome to Band of Brothers Radio. You have come to that location on the internet where we talk about the real issues that men face on a daily basis. It's about being transparent, brutally honest, biblically sound, and offering both hope and help for men. Can't do this thing by myself, that's for sure. Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. And that's what this thing is all about. It's about knowing that, hey, can't do this thing by ourselves. The walk with Christ, living on this earth, dealing with life on life's terms, all of the above. So in the studio today, Duke is back in the house. Good to have you, brother.
It is good to be here. Thank you, brother.
We have a topic today that we're going to talk about. What happens when, what do? When you get to that place when it seems like everything is going to blow up. You just sense it. You know it. Everything, no matter what it is, what is it? What is it that you do next? What do you do? Why, I mean, you sit here and just go, man, so many of us, we scramble like I have this thought in my mind because I grew up in a part of Arizona where, you know, we had a lot of cockroaches, right? And and when you turn on the light after when it's dark, you turn on the light, you see the roaches, everyone just, they flee, right? You know? And that's kind of how what happens with us, in a sense. And sometimes the situation we put ourselves in is kind of like being a roach. But anyway, we're going to end up talking about that a little bit. Yes. Not about cockroaches, but we're just talking about men, in a sense. Anyway, we always like to kind of kick things off with a little bit of encouragement. Brother, do you have anything in, that you'd like to encourage these men? Don't be talking about being a cockroach either.
No, I'm a walking encouragement, Raul. You should know that by now. I find encouragement in just about everything because at every turn there seems like there's a challenge. I can tell you that my most recent encouragement, I guess, from my chair is family. That is the support of my family as I had this back surgery and recovered through that. You know, you can't do it for yourself when you go through something like that. And my wife and daughter, granddaughter that I live with, they were such an encouragement to me how joyfully they helped.
Right.
Whatever
right.
it was I needed. And not to wait on me hand and foot, but to, hey, can I do anything for you? I got to tell you, Raul, that to be surrounded by family, by those that love you and care for you, to help you, that's not everybody has that. So that was an encouragement to me.
Right. Right, and so often it's about knowing that you have people in your life, whether you realize it or not, that are willing to do whatever they can to see to it because of their love, their feelings for you, right?
Amen.
And you know, so often as guys, we have a tendency of thinking that you know, nobody can love me because I don't love me, you know, because I don't like myself. Well, you know, that's not true. Jesus Christ loves you no matter what has taken place. There is no sin. There's nothing that you can do to separate the love of him for you, you know. And ultimately what it comes down to in some cases, especially on this earth, because we need sometimes to feel Jesus in the skin, right?
Yes.
We need to kind of that handshake or that hug or that acknowledgement verbally of saying, hey, you know, you're important. You know, you're important in my life. And we receive that. We just have a tendency of not isolating ourselves, you know, not wanting to be around that sort of thing.
You know? I mean, we have a tendency of isolating ourselves.
Yeah, what did I say?
Not isolating.
Not isolating, yeah. Yes, of isolating, yes.
Well, and, you know, I guess the added encouragement in that, too, is that there's a church member on Facebook that doesn't have a wife and family, doesn't have surrounded like I was for my support and encouragement. They live alone. But it was the added encouragement just came to mind, Raul, was even this person, as she shares some of her struggles of, let's say, not having another person, her church family, her believing Facebook friends, I guess you could say, you should read some of the encouragements these folks send this gal.
Uh-huh.
So even when you don't have family, you do. If you're with brothers and sisters, they're there to encourage you during difficult times too. So
yeah. Well, the key is that we seek God. He's going to end up putting people in front of us to actually be able to speak into our lives. We just have to be willing to hear about that sort of thing.
Yeah, listen, you bet.
Yeah, and that only comes when you're ready to listen.
Amen.
And that kind of segues right into what we're about ready to talk about here. So you want to give us a little example of you had given me the topic, and I think it's a great topic, but what was your thought?
Well, the thought was I found myself not in an uncommon place, Raul. That is, been working with a brother. That is, he sought my counsel, and we're in the business of ministering to men and in the way that we do. But this ministry that I'm going to mention is not, I guess, exclusive to guys like you and I that are maybe in the ministry. We find ourselves in this place all the time, and that is where you have a brother or sister that has crashed and burned.
Uh-huh.
And here I was working with this brother. I say working with him that he was seeking counsel on some struggles he had in his marriage. He had a little alcohol addiction that he didn't realize he was as addicted as he is. And anyway, he knew something was wrong. He knew it wasn't going well at home. Uh-huh. He didn't have harmony. And so he was seeking out some direction in some of our men's meetings and at church. Well, it blew up. That uh-huh. is, the reason this topic I thought was important is I found myself sitting with a man who was in tears, broken at the situation he found himself in, yet for the last 6 months, he could see it coming.
Right.
That is, and I would tell him, say, brother, you need to do this or do this. You need to be patient in this. You need to go to your wife and do this. And these were not telling him what to do. These were suggestions that were based on what Scripture says. This is how I repair this situation.
Right.
But he didn't listen, Raul. I mean, he heard the words, and I think that he was struggled with that pull of the world. But the bottom line was, it hit him. It blew up. All of what he suspected could be going on did go on. And so I was struck with this. What do you do? I mean, not that you and I haven't been there in our own ways, but as we're talking to brothers or the stealthy ladies that listen to the show, it's like, what do you do when you find yourself just like this guy felt like it was, I mean, he didn't know what to do. Right. He was that broken.
Well, you know, an awful lot of what it comes down to, and this is, and I had mentioned this to you before, is that we end up in situations of getting that place of willing to listen and to do something else when we have spent all of our opportunities or things that we are knowledgeable of from our own experiences, from our own wisdom or our own whatever, okay, that I'm spent. I don't have anything else to give. I don't know what else to do. And at that time, that's generally, as a rule, I think, that we end up willing to hear from someone else. Now, the likelihood is, and this is what keeps everybody from going toward that sort of thing of seeking help, is that people are going to tell me what, not necessarily what I want to hear. And that's usually what needs to be heard anyway.
Yeah, I
are
agree.
The things that people don't want to hear. I don't want to see that. I don't want to know that. I assume that. Tell me what I can do to leave this. Well, you know, I guess you could move to another country. You know, that would probably take care of some of it. You know, for a little while before you upset somebody in that country, and then all of a sudden, before you know it, you'll be doing the same thing that you're doing now. See, there's no getting away. One thing is that I realize myself as through my the challenges I had that eventually led me to this relationship with Jesus Christ, that there was an enemy. I was sharing with the guys the other day, as a matter of fact, on Saturday morning, and said, you know what? I did not realize that I had this fear. I knew I had this fear, but I didn't realize. And the fear was, it was something that was very profound. I thought that there was somebody always out to get me. Mm-hmm. Somebody was chasing me. I really thought it was sort of a, that I was actually going crazy. You know, I had this fear. I could always, like, somebody's going to try to get me and stuff. And so I, you know, I grew up with fear of the devil, fear of God. And so now I'm fear of everything. And when you got those two fears, that it kind of covers everything.
Oh, yeah. Sense, yeah.
So yes, I had this fear that somebody was out to get me. And it was the enemy. And I didn't know who the enemy was. I honestly didn't. At times I thought God was the enemy because I, you know, I wasn't good enough to be on his team, so to speak. I mean, obviously, I had sinned and done a lot of things that were not would not be considered appropriate to be one of God's men, in a sense, okay? And but the point being that I'm trying to get to is that all I had to do was look in the mirror. All I had to look in the mirror, and I would see the enemy. The enemy was me. Now, I'm not a bad person, necessarily, in that sense. But my behavior definitely was not good. Okay, it wasn't something that God would sit there and say, "This is one that I love," and you know, he's looking at to know me more and so on and so forth. No, I just had to look in the mirror. My selfishness, my self-centeredness, my everything that I it was all about me, and I had such a pride that I was not willing to accept anything from anybody else that would be what they might consider helpful in my life, right?
Yeah.
And so I go about my business that I think I need to keep doing. And we've all know people like that in our lives. Maybe we are like that ourselves, okay? Others have said that to us. And what do? Well, when somebody says something to me that I don't want to hear, I just cut them out of my life, you know, out of sight, out of mind. And I don't have to deal with it, you know? We often hear about that sort of thing. I mean, how does God get our attention? How does God get our attention? And it's usually through our challenges in our life.
Through our experiences, yeah.
Right, and then we end up. I mean, Paul, who was Saul, took a little ride down toward Damascus, right? And Jesus wanted to say, hey, help me understand why you're persecuting my people and doing what you're doing to me, you know? Knocked him off the horse, blinded him, and went from there. The man who has actually done such horrific things, and so often we think that our little challenges that we have and things that we've done, that they're beyond forgiveness. God forgave Saul, gave him a new name, Paul, who ended up being so instrumental in expanding the Gospels of Jesus Christ to the world and continues to do so, okay? So this is a awkward place for guys to be sometimes is that we see, because of our behavior, certain things that take place. We don't want to admit it. We always want to blame somebody else. It's because of the situation. It's because of the parents that you gave me, if I'm talking to God. God, you know, it's just like Adam. When Eve took the bite of the fruit, and they all of a sudden they went to hide, right? And the Lord calls out Adam, in a sense, and he has to explain. So help me understand. This is God. Help me understand why you would do such a thing. You know, well, it's this woman that you gave me, right? Yeah. She's the one who fell, and she gave me that fruit to eat. You know, we're looking for something else rather than blame me.
Yes.
For it type of thing.
Well, even if we know that we're receiving good counsel, the right answer, let's say. I know, and I'm not unique, I know there's many times I thought, well, that's great, but if it's not my idea, I can't really get behind it. In other words, there's a little bit of that pride with some of us that says, oh, Raul gave me good counsel and he's right, but it doesn't mean I'm going to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
This is one of the things that so struck me when I was talking with this other brother, is that you could see the train wreck was on its way, and it was as if he he wasn't willing to make the changes to stop it. It's a little, I guess, preventative Christianity in a way. You know, as a mechanic, in my background, I know that if the machine doesn't get some kind of regular maintenance, eventually it's going to break down.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
even as I talk with customers, and I'll give them that encouragement, you know, gee whiz, if you want to take good care of this vehicle, you need to, you know, do a little maintenance here or here. A lot of people just don't do it, even though they know they should.
Right.
So this is kind of a fabric of how a lot of us think. So why should we expect any different when guys are like, oh, if I turn right, that's the right decision. But until I'm ready to make the decision to turn right, it's somebody else's idea.
Right. It's kind of like having a hole in the roof in a sense, right? You got a hole in the roof, it's got a leak, right? And the beautiful day, nice weather, to be able to get up there to do that sort of thing. But instead, you go do something you can enjoy the day with, right? Yeah. The last thing I want to do is go fix a roof leak, okay? When that is probably the appropriate time, safest time to be able to do that sort of thing. But no, and then the rains come or the storms come, and then all of a sudden it's leaking again, gets worse, and now you're up on the roof trying to keep this thing from leaking or doing whatever means.
In the rain.
In the rain, yeah. Right.
Isn't so, that just the way?
But it's just the nature of the beast when we're not seeking God's will, when we're seeking our own comfort, and we're seeking the things that I believe I need to have in my life. And if God isn't going to give that to me, you know, especially if it has something to do with pleasure or desire or sinful nature, you know, we know God's not going to bless us with those things, you know. So, but those are the things that I so need it. I want that. I can't live without it in a sense. Well, that makes it pretty challenging. So God allows certain things to take place in our lives. He allowed this to take place in my life to get to that place of finally realizing that I need to just be not only willing to hear what other people have to say, be willing to do it, you know,
Amen.
Not just talk about it or hear about it, but to actually do it. The Word of God talks about it in here, too. It says, don't only be a hearer of the Word, but be a doer of the Word. Because that's truly where the changes take place, and that's when it comes through. So,
well, and let me add, the doer of the word, I used to think that meant physically doing something for the church. So for the listeners, that doing the word, I believe now, means living the word.
Absolutely.
Not like physically doing some good deed. Mm-hmm. It was do the word by living the word.
Yeah, the faith without works. I mean, you still have to put action behind
Amen.
What you're saying. But it's not because of our actions that we're actually going to be pleasing God. If it's doing His will, this is what He wants us to do. There is a big difference there. One is that we're just trying to score points so that we can be in heaven or we can get what we want
yes.
or God will hear our prayers and please, right? But the other is a matter of just truly just seeking to do God's will. And He loves us. Mm-hmm. He loves you. That's the reason that He gave His Son for you, so that you would be able to have a relationship with Him for eternity. You know, we're going to take a break, but believe it or not, we are eternal beings. We'll be right back. You're listening to Band Brothers Radio.
Help us reach more men with hope and biblical wisdom. Spread the word about Band of Brothers Radio at faithplace.org.
When you need a lasting remembrance of a loved one, you can spend thousands of dollars on an engraved monument, bench marker, keepsake urn, or flight case. Or you could get the exact same engraved monument at a far lower cost from Cascade Monuments. Right now, explore even bigger savings during Cascade Monuments' anniversary event. Cascade Monuments ships throughout the United States and Canada. Shop online at cascademonuments.com.
I have decided, to follow Jesus, Savior. I have decided, I'm following Jesus, no turning back, I'm moving on, not looking back, I'm giving.
Band Brothers Radio. You have come to that location once again. Thanks for staying with us. I've got Duke in the studio. We're talking about that place of getting in our lives where things look like they're about ready to just blow up and completely be, you know, in front of us, going, what happened here? And sometimes we, more often than not, I'm going to say, a high percentage of us, and I'm throwing me in there too because I was like this, that I am looking for circumstances or situations or people that are to blame for my situation, okay? And that's a big part of it, is that we end up looking elsewhere. And I, as mentioned earlier in the show, all I have to do is look in the mirror. That's really what it comes down to. But don't tell me what I need to do like that.
You know? No, but you get to place of brokenness. This is so appropriate because yesterday when I was counseling with this guy in his brokenness, mm-hmm. he said, why is God doing this to me?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I said, whoa, wait a minute, brother. I said, you think God, your father, wants harm to come to you? You think he doesn't want you to be loving and abundant? Heck no. You're a father for your own kids. Is that what you would wish upon your own children? He's like, well, no. I says, no, don't you get it? He's been telling you. He's been showing up. He's been surrounding you by other brothers. The message has been getting out. What have you been doing with it? And so, same as looking in the mirror, I challenged him. I says, don't you go putting this on God. I said, brother, you're here because you made conscious choices that were not seeking God, but rather staying in the world because you didn't want to get out of your comfort zone, brother.
And you know, and that is true, but that's not, there's more to it than that. See, God disciplines those he loves.
Amen.
Okay?
Yep.
And when there are consequences to our behavior, okay? And God allows things to take place. What's really taking place is that he's trying to get our attention, especially when we're in the realm of sin, okay? When we're in darkness, when we are teetering on that of eventually just saying, oh, I'm almost on the cliff where I'm going to fall completely and everything else. We think that no one else is going to be affected. Mm-hmm. It's only us. And and that is so of the enemy to be able to throw things like that at us so that we would sit there and go, my goodness, you know, I didn't realize that how much influence I had on others' lives. Man, if you're married, you get your wife, if you have children, your children, your mother, your father, parents, okay, siblings, you know, brothers, sisters, you know, friends, people around us. That's why the enemy says, hey, you know, in war, in World War II, the Japanese, when we came, whether it was to Iwo Jima or different places, when they did shore bombardment and everything, the Japanese said, don't try to kill every one of those Americans that come on.
Mm-hmm.
You injure them. Because if you injure them, it's going to take at least one other, if not two other, if not three of them to move that person out of the way. And they are going to be ones that will be sitting targets that you can take out. Okay? And that's what takes place. So as a result of me thinking that, oh, I'm going to do this, I'm going to be, you know, because I think this is right, when I've been told not to do that, because it's going to cause harm not only to you but to others, little do you realize that those who come to your rescue may be the ones taken out. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't say that to make someone feel guilty. I mean, there's a thing called conviction from the Holy Spirit of reminding us that there are things that we need to be responsible for, okay? And we're not clear-minded. You know, if we have alcohol or drugs or an emotional desire in us so much, we're blinded to see what all the things around us, okay?
In a way, but I'll still maintain that in my own case or in this particular brother's case that's brought this subject to mind, we know. I mean, deep down, we know. I can remember a testimony from one of my brothers who was leading a horribly broken life. And as he told us about his recovery and Jesus Christ and what his life looked like now, he was willing to admit, he says, you know what? He says, when I was in the wrong place, he said, I knew I was. He says, but it was almost like he couldn't get out of it. And only God knows what it's going to take to change us, to change our minds, to bring us to our knees. The sad thing is, Raul, that same as this brother, the sad thing is it seems though we're so thick and so blinded sometimes or so deceived sometimes that we need to be broken before we begin to see the hope in the situation.
Yeah, and there's no doubt. And anyone who has been in sin knows that, what I'm doing is not right. We all know that.
But we put it off. I mean,
no, you put it off because you desire not to do anything other than what you're doing because you still want to do the sin.
Hmm. Well, sin, you can't be
happy.
Yeah,
that's right. It fulfills. It fills something in you, and so often that's we are designed to be worshipers of Jesus Christ, of God Almighty, for eternity. We're eternal beings. We're meant to be eternal beings. That's what we are geared for. You know, when we die and we're in heaven, we're going to be given a new body. You know, it's going to be an eternal. The body we have is not an eternal body. The body will decay. It is going to die. Okay. But our spirit, the way that he designed us, is to live eternally. And in so doing, the thing is that sometimes we think, oh, we'll just end this time on the earth and then I'll just get to my eternal body. And brother, what comes with that, with the sinful behavior and everything, is thinking that it's not very straight. It doesn't make any sense. Because how often have we talked and looked at people or experienced ourselves that when others say, just stop doing that, it's easier said than done.
Because
we have the fear that is keeping us engulfed in this. Whether it's the fear of death or the fear of living or the fear of not getting our way or the fear of, whatever it might be. And that relationship with Jesus Christ, in perfect love, there is no fear, okay? So that relationship with Jesus Christ, he is the solution in all cases. He really, truly is. If we're living in fear, I lived every day in that. I started talking about that at the start of the show. Live like that all the time, so often, and then we end up doing the things that we end up doing, and we end up going, man, why am I doing this sort of thing? The book of Romans chapter 7, I love this with Paul, and this is what I always call, when we used to do Bible study, I call it the do-wah-diddy, okay? We know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. That's what I thought. I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate to do, and if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is, it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature, for I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is the sin living in me that does it. Okay? So that's where this, of realizing what my life was like in the past, that I need to eliminate that. The only way of eliminating that is surrender and submission to Jesus Christ, because he says, hey, when you ask for forgiveness, I'm going to forgive you. I throw your sins behind my back. Another part of the Bible, he says he throws them into the deepest part of the ocean to sink to the bottom, never to be risen again. He says, with you, I just wash you clean. You start anew. And this is heartfelt. This isn't dealing with God. I'm coming up with God, if you do this and I do that, we're going to get this together. No, 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 no. He says, I don't want all of you, not 90% of you, not 95% of you. I want 100% of you. And if you give me all of you, I will take care of you. And I'll take care of all those things that you're needing to take care of.
And what I also love about that passage in Romans is Paul is, he's just telling it like it is. Whether it's back in his time or in the 21st century, It's so much wisdom in that for us to look at. Mm-hmm. That is, I don't want to sin, but I sin. That whole thing. And that just helps us understand that we live in this fallen world, that if we think that we're somehow going to reach a plateau where this stuff doesn't happen anymore, it ain't happening.
Mm-hmm.
John let us know we would live in a world of these troubles and to expect it.
Right.
Okay. So as I talk with this brother, and I know there's some brothers listening that can probably relate to being in a place or maybe kind of seeing that the train wreck could be happening for them. As I told this other brother, I said, just know that God is allowing you to draw to him through these experiences, but make no mistake, that's what he wants. That's where your healing will come. And there's no promise that this won't happen again or there right. won't be another. So in this guy's case, he kind of knows what to do, Raul, but he wasn't sure how to do it. And my encouragement to the listeners is what I, myself and other brothers, encouraged this guy during this time of trial. What do you do? Well, he knew that he needed to be broken to come to God, but he also knew that he needed to seek out additional counsel. And so he's doing that. But he's also doing that, praise God, with brothers that are gathering around him in support. Because you know what, man, we've all been there.
Yeah.
Even the listeners that may be being there now or have overcome and are encouraged by this message, there just isn't some magic one answer.
We're going to take a break.
Yeah.
For those of you who are listening and sitting there going, man, I just don't know. I think I'm on the right track here. I hear something that I probably need to hear. You get your Bible out. Go to Psalm 6, okay? You can read all of Psalm 6, but I'm just going to read verse 6 in there. David says, I am weary with moaning. Every night I flood my bed with tears. I drench my couch with my weeping.
Wow.
We'll be right back. You're listening to Band Brothers Radio.
No sugarcoating here. It's real talk about real issues for real men. Band of Brothers Radio, streaming and podcasting daily at faithplace.org.
Are you happy with your speed of internet service? Whether it's your home connection that's a concern or whether the internet service at your business is less than ideal, StarTouch Broadband Services may well be your answer. StarTouch is Washington State's largest microwave internet service provider since 1998, and they are rapidly becoming the choice of high-speed internet service for both homes and companies all over Washington State. If you're looking for a super fast connection, StarTouch has the affordable answer. The business class wireless broadband packages offered by StarTouch provide speeds incredibly faster than T1 speeds, from 3 megabytes per second up to 1,000 megabytes. Check out StarTouch at their website, startouch.com, and get on board with no-hassle, high-speed internet service. StarTouch Broadband Services.
I believe I overcome by the power of his blood. Amen. Amen. I'm alive. I'm alive because he lives. Amen. Amen. Let my soul.
Band Brothers Radio. Some good songs. Nice job, producer. I tell you what, these are some good stuff. Anyway, you know, when it comes to this relationship with Jesus Christ, he wants us, you know, so often, you know, when we get into the Word of God, we're reminded of certain parables or stories or experiences that Jesus did with the apostles when they were all in the boat and out on the Sea of Galilee, and there was a storm that came, and it became just overwhelming. You guys know the deal. You know the story. If you don't, anyway, in talking about that, listening to that, they said, somebody wake up Jesus. You know, what's up? Why? How can he sleep during all of this? Right.
Well, they thought they could die out there.
Exactly. Yeah. Things are, you know, they're going to flood. They're going to drown. It's, you know, whatever, they're going to flood. The boats could be flooded and so on and so forth. And anyway, the point being is that Jesus ended up looking at them like, you know, ye have little faith, you know. Yeah. Ye have little faith, you know. You called on me. He answered now. And now what's he do? He just speaks to the water and it calms down. The wind stops. And everything's fine, you know. Everything comes okay. You know, he tells Paul, when Paul says, I've got this thorn in my side, I got, Father, or Jesus, take this from me. Lord, take this from me. He asks him three times, Lord, take this from me. And Jesus responds and replies in a manner, you know, that I'm sure Paul didn't quite understand it at first.
No.
He says, my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient for you, okay? And as a result of that, you know, Paul ends up realizing that all he needs is this relationship with Jesus Christ. And that if he had this relationship that was ongoing and continual, okay, that he'll be able to deal with this thorn in the side, okay, whatever that might be. We are the same way. We are no different. That's why you always hear us reminding and encouraging men to get into the Word of God. You know, get into the Gospels. Make it a discipline. Make it a discipline of reading His Word so that you would be inspired and you can encourage others. And you'll see in your own life, God will reveal to you what He wants you to see. Just pray ahead of time before you start reading and asking, Lord, show me what you want me to, you know, what you want me to receive from this as I read into your Gospel of Matthew or the Gospel of Luke or of Mark or of John, okay? Whatever that is, okay? The fact is that his word doesn't come back void. It is always hitting either us or someone else at the right time. And when you're seeking him, hey, it says somewhere, Jesus says, if you abide in me and I abide in my word, I will abide in you.
Yeah.
And abide means remain. Okay? So if I remain in Jesus and I remain in his word, that he will remain in me. And in so doing, you can't get any better. I mean, this, you're talking about the God of all creation.
Amen. Well, you know, and I can't help but as I reflect, can't help but share here, as I reflect on this one brother, he's at a place now, praise God, that God's got his attention, but I think in a way he thought he was doing the right thing. How many of us have been where this guy is, where he's been going to church, he's been attending some men's gatherings, but it's been on his terms, it hasn't been on God's terms. You know, he thought he was doing okay, that his little sin God would understand because we're weak in the flesh, and that he was a good earner, a good provider, but you know what, he just wasn't seeking God in the way that God wants us to or needs him to.
Yeah.
And I'll also say that I have met men that did see the train wreck coming and did look to be very proactive about it. It just seems we're the minority because we don't want our sins uncovered. We don't want to appear weak. This guy is not any different than most of us, where whatever that crash and burn experiences is in your life, your drug addiction, your alcohol addiction has been found out, or you lost your job because of this, or your wife is going to kick you out, or whatever it is, it seems like it takes these things to wake us up. So as I'm talking to this brother yesterday, he said, so he says, what do I do? I says, do life, brother. I says, you think there's going to be some magic answer I can give you, or that you're going to be in tears and open up your Bible and, you know, the trumpets are going to sound and the lights are going to come on and angels are going to come down and say, you're healed. You don't have any more problems. No, it doesn't work that way. So in a way, my encouragement was there's hope, but it doesn't mean you somehow get a pass to get out of the war. You're still in the battle.
Yeah.
This
yeah.
is just one of the skirmishes that we have to go through.
You know, again, I love the Word of God. It keeps me in awe all the time. I'm sitting there like anything else saying, oh, man, I didn't know this. Or, gosh, that sounds good. I like that. Where is that? Anyway, if you go to Proverbs 28, verse 26, it says here, I'm going to read it in two different versions here. And 26 says, whoever trusts in his own mind is a fool, but he who walks in wisdom will be delivered. And in another translation that's a little safer, I think it's NIV 84, it says, he who trusts in himself is a fool, but he who walks in wisdom is kept safe. So, you know, have I been foolish in my life? Absolutely. Can I continue to be foolish? Well, I can, but I choose not to, but there are still times when I act that way. And when I start making foolish decisions and doing foolish things, it's usually because I'm trying to stay in charge or trying to control something myself.
There you go.
Okay. And what the Lord's letting me know that until you realize that you can't control anything, you're not going to look in the right direction for who can really control it, you know?
Yeah.
And that's where it comes with this relationship with Jesus. But is it an easy thing to do? No, it's a difficult thing. Jesus once again reminds us in his scripture that, hey, this road is going to be narrow. You know, wide is the road for those who are looking for the comfort and everything, you know, and is that not what we're looking for most of the time? We don't want the narrow, uncomfortable, narrow road. We want that comfortable, wide road. And many are going to go down that road, okay? Are we to be one of them? Are we just going to pull Jesus out when we think we need him and so on and so forth? You know, brother, that's not the way that he intended it, you know. He said to Paul, of course, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. So, wow. So all of a sudden, my weaknesses become a place where God's power comes through?
Amen. Amen. That's where the passion of your testimony and mine mm-hmm. comes into play.
Mm-hmm.
This is why we're passionate about sharing these kinds of messages with those listeners, or why I was willing to talk with this brother yesterday. That's the hit right there, brother. It is that we become stronger, but before we become stronger, we got to get weak. That's it's right. that backwards thing. You mean I have to release control to feel like I'm in control? Well, you're really not. God's just letting you, you know, abide in him and him in you. But making that transition from, because we don't want to feel weak, do we?
Yeah.
It's like the bumper sticker on my car says, tough guys love Jesus. You know, it takes a lot more strength to overcome mm-hmm. than it does to give in.
Mm-hmm. You know, and you know what's something is that, you know, Paul, once again, you know, he says in that same passage mentions about, you know, this is all the more reason I'm going to boast about my weaknesses,
amen.
Okay, so that more of God would actually come out of me, more of him out of me, okay? See, we're just vessels to be used for him, okay? And when we get in line with that, he says, I just need you to clear out the pipe where all of my power is going to come through, because there are certain things that are blocking it. You know, not allowing it to come through completely. And that's where we have to let go of some of these old ways, these foolish ideas, foolish ways, so that we can be used clearly, okay, for him. And then all of a sudden people start noticing certain things about you. You know, you look different. Did you get a haircut? Did you shave? What is it? You lost weight? You know, what is it? No, there's the joy of the Lord in you. And how do you get it? Well, you get to that place where you finally realize that you can't bring enough happiness into your life to have the joy that you can have in a relationship with Jesus Christ. You just don't have it. There are many who have attempted to do that. And you get into the Word of God, you read how men have attempted to do that for centuries. For
Amen.
Centuries.
Amen.
Okay.
You know, and each one of us wants to be purposeful, useful. I mean, that's kind of most all of us would like to believe that. So I can tell you that the last thing I shared with this brother yesterday before hooking him up with other counsel was and this came from my own perspective, and I know a lot of listeners can, I thought, okay, so what's in it for me? Mm-hmm. There was a little bit of, okay, so how does this go? And so what I shared with this guy was something that was shared with me some years ago. When I was going through a struggle, the pastor that I sought out, he says, don't you get it? And this is what I told this guy. I says, don't you get it? He says, don't you know that God wants to use you? Don't you know that by having this experience that he's going to call you to a greater purpose later on? So I told this brother, I says, can you imagine what it will be like to overcome this current struggle and be in a position of strength? Because I said, brother, God is going to put men in your life that are going to be going through the same struggle or something similar. And you know what you're going to be able to do? You're going to be able to say, hey, I was there. Here's what you do. Let me help you through this. That, I got to tell you, when that pastor shared that with me some years ago through one of my struggles, I thought, wow, you mean if I overcome this battle, I can show other men how to be armed and win their battles?
Yep.
Amen.
Yep.
That's what we do.
Got to give it away. You've received it freely. You give it away freely. And brother, that's how this thing works, you know. But we've got to submit and get to that place of believing that he, being Jesus, can take care of it all. And you know what? He can. So,
every time.
Brother, how about you pray for our brothers who are listening right now?
Here, Father God, our Lord Jesus Christ, I just pray, Lord, that you would lift up the hearts and minds of those men that listened to this program today. Give them the encouragement and wisdom that you know only they can receive in the way that you will deliver it to them. In your name, amen.
Brother, know this. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you.